Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Jazz hands. Welcome to the news. Is that good? All right.
That was brilliant.
Very good. So today we're going to talk about the news of the day. Today is June 18th, it is Friday, and you have Natalie instead of Clayton today. One of these days, you're going to get neither of us and one of our kids, and then it'll be all chaos. Today, I'm stepping in because Clayton gets the weekend off for Father's Day. June 20th, this Sunday, is Father's Day in the U.S., and Clayton and I have this new tradition where we give each other time alone. When you have three kids, you don't want more time with said kids. You want some quiet time for the holiday to commemorate all the time you've spent with said kids. So that's what we get now. I love this tradition. And he will be back in time for a nice Father's Day brunch. So you get me today. And the news of the day is mostly good. Nothing to panic about. What you will not get today is too much about stock and Bitcoin. That is not my bag, baby. But I am also a news anchor, so I'm going to give you the news and hopefully in a way that you can chime in. I hope you're a channel member so you can talk to me. I'd love to hear your voice and see what you have to say. If you're watching this later, obviously we'll read your comments and ring in. First story of the day. The Supreme Court has upheld the Affordable Care Act, colloquially known as Obamacare. Like how I just flung out that colloquially. It didn't come out so nice, but you know what I meant. This is the 2010 Health Care Act that was passed by former President Barack Obama. Now, why is this significant? Well, in case you haven't noticed, we are in the middle of a pandemic. What the Republican Party was trying to do was remove health care when kind of we need it the most. Why? Why were they doing this? Well, I mean, you could ask any one of them their real motivation, but the Republican Party has not liked this act since its inception for various reasons. They give various reasons. They change, they move. When it passed, one of their big beefs was that there was a penalty for not having health insurance. So the way it went was, if you didn't have health insurance, either through your own private health insurance, through your employer, or purchase it yourself, you would pay a penalty on your taxes. Well, in 2017, President Donald Trump repealed that penalty, so it didn't exist anymore. And Republicans used that as an opportunity to relitigate. Okay, so let's try and figure this out a little bit. There was a penalty, and Republicans didn't like it, right? Actually, nobody liked it. If you didn't have health care, who wants to pay a penalty, right? Then there wasn't a penalty and they didn't like it again. The argument here was that if there was no penalty for not having health insurance, then healthy people could, without penalty, choose not to have health insurance. Okay, why do we care? We care because it would put undue burden on the health insurance companies, right? So if you think about this, you're a health insurance company, you want to insure as many or more healthy people, so you're making a profit, than sick people. If you have no healthy people there, all you're doing is paying for sick people, you're not going to make a profit, right? And so this is one of the reasons that maybe motivated by lobbyist money, the Republican Party was litigating this act in the Supreme Court. Now, the Supreme Court decided to take this up. And, you know, it seemed at the time, because we have more conservative judges than liberal judges, that they were doing this as one of the Republican agenda. But they did not. They upheld the law because they say that the plaintiffs could not prove that this zero penalty harmed them. So who were the plaintiffs? Were Republican lawmakers. And none of them were harmed. Now, there are parties who could say they were harmed by them, by this, but none of them were plaintiffs. So we get to stick with this. And it seems as though there will not be more challenges in the Supreme Court to the Affordable Care Act, which in my opinion, at this point is a good thing because now is not the time to take away health insurance. If the Supreme Court had gone the other way, if the Supreme Court had said, okay, this is unconstitutional, we pick it apart, what would happen to you as an American citizen? Well, you could still buy your own health insurance. It could get a lot more expensive. You could hopefully have health insurance through a company or nothing. You could do neither of those things. You could choose not to. You don't have a penalty, right? All of that would be true. But if you wanted to then buy health insurance, you could be denied based on a pre-existing condition because the disability to do that, the fact that companies cannot deny you based on pre-existing conditions, was something new to Obamacare. I'm sorry to call it Obamacare, to the Affordable Care Act, right? This made it so people cannot be denied. And now COVID arguably could be a pre-existing condition. So many people have had it. This would be a problem for this platform on which we all sort of sit right now, that everybody can purchase health insurance, would fall out from under us. And how many people then would be without health insurance with what we still don't know are the lasting effects of COVID, and what would happen then? They would pay for their continued care out of pocket. That's untenable, right? So this is a surprise. It's a, I want to say it's a nice surprise, because it means that we don't have that further instability. If the Supreme Court had ruled against the Affordable Care Act, we would have seen a lot of market volatility because, again, we would see all of these people lose their coverage, start to be denied coverage, and then it could, and then again, have to pay for health care that they can't afford. It would be a bad thing, in my opinion, for that to happen now. Now, I'm not saying there aren't pieces of this act that don't need more, right? It's not perfect legislation. Then President Barack Obama admitted as much, that he had this lofty goal for what it should be, and he had to sort of pare it down to what he thought could pass. And so now Republicans are saying they're going to edit it, I guess is how we could say it. They're going to take small pieces of it and try to change it little by little through Congress instead of litigate all the way through it. Except, I mean, there are a few that are going to run their mouths and say, no, we're not done. We're going to keep going, take this to the court. I think third time's a charm. I don't think we're going to see another major challenge to this. But it's so interesting, right? Because, again, the Supreme Court has this conservative judge bent. Trump for sure thought that Amy Coney Barrett and Brett Kavanaugh would vote for what the Republican Party wanted, and they didn't. Both of them sided with the other conservative judges. Only Gorsuch voted against it. Gorsuch and, sorry, I did not memorize this. Let's see, Gorsuch and Alito. Justice Samuel Alito also dissented. Both of them thought that this was punting, that the Supreme Court should have pulled this apart, and did not. But it was a 7-2 victory in favor of Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act, pardon me. So we will not have the bottom fall out of our health insurance program right now, thankfully. Do we have comments about this, Philip, before we move on?
Let's put some up here. Oh, see, we still okay. Lost our background. I'm still working on this background.
Jazz hands.
I mean, you can see everything fine. It just like the, with yeah. the update, everything's out. So we did have one super chat, Steve Walker. Oh, interesting. So sorry, I got distracted, but YouTube's showing it just fine. It's just the... it's just not showing up in restream. So Steve Walker had a $5 super chat. Hey, is there something wrong? The last few times I've tuned into YouTube does not show you live until like 9:05 and you are already a few minutes into the show. Unfortunately, that's a YouTube thing. There's nothing we can do about that. YouTube's notifications have been notoriously unpredictable.
Yes.
So there was one comment. I want to get back to it. I believe it was... Her Imperial Majesty said that she was alive because of the ACA. If I got the person wrong, I apologize for that.
But yeah, you know, one of the major concerns about Obamacare when, I'm sorry, I really don't want to use that colloquialism, but it's just the way it's out there in the ether. One of the concerns was that it would raise premiums and people would not be able to actually get health insurance. That has not been the case. In fact, it passed in 2010. By 2016, the number of people without health care was halved. So of all those people who were just chancing it without health insurance, either by no fault of their own or because they were taking a risk, that number of people was cut in half. Now, over 31 million people have health care due to the Affordable Care Act. And insurance companies cannot just raise their premiums through the roof. They are federally mandated. So that's not to say that it's affordable. It is not, in my opinion, when you look at the sort of buffet of options around the world of people who have socialized medicine or any other kind of government-provided medicine that is very good. We are not there. We're not even close. Again, I think that's what President Barack Obama wanted, but it never was going to pass. This is what we got that he knew would pass, and it does seem to be effective. People are able to get care that could not get care before.
See, I'm kind of lucky that I'm in the Pacific Northwest, so we have Washington State has Apple Care, and Oregon has the Oregon Health Plan.
Yeah.
My daughter's been covered on the Oregon Health Plan for all of her medical for forever. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Even if you have your own insurance, Oregon Health Plan will cover all children.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And Oregon has, this Pacific Northwest has plans that cover more holistic medicine as well. I was shopping for something very similar and I just couldn't find it when Clayton left Fox. We had to then get our own health insurance. Cobra, oh my gosh, it was so expensive. It just was like sticker shock. And I did a lot of research and I saw that those plans have things like massage and acupuncture and really things with very well studied efficacy that also they know promotes health. It's wonderful. Have you taken advantage of anything like that?
Yeah, I had sciatica several years back and like acupuncture was covered through that.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like I had about 2 years ago, I ended up with severe pneumonia for like 3 months. I ended up in the hospital.
Wow.
and it was just all covered by Apple Care.
Yeah.
Like the Washington Health Plan, my doctor was like, you know, don't worry about anything. And I didn't. So
if you think about that, though, the converse of that story could have been a bankrupting event.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yeah. And COVID also can be a bankrupting event without proper health coverage, especially because, again, we just don't know the long term effects of COVID. So yeah, that's wonderful and also terrifying, right?
Yeah. Nathaniel Gilchrist, it's shameful in the so-called wealthiest country in the world, healthcare isn't free. It absolutely is.
Yes. Yes, I agree. And that it should be state-run in that way, that you just have to, you know, choose a state that you think will, and some states have nothing, absolutely nothing. So yes, absolutely. That's scary and shameful. I don't think we're going to do much better than this in the foreseeable future. We have a highly partisan Congress, and President Biden is already picking and choosing the things that he is going to use his executive actions for. It does not seem like he's going to use them in the infrastructure bill. It seems we're going to get that in sort of piecemeal, which is fine and a little confusing. And so I don't think there's going to be a major overhaul to health insurance if I'm going to predict, I'm going to say the next decade, we're not getting anything close to that. That's my prediction. So we're just going to kind of have to live with it. But at least right now, you have the ability to buy yourself health insurance without being denied a pre-existing condition. So, okay. Did we get all the comments on that? Anything else before we move on?
No, that was most of them. I've just had the chat up, so
okay.
I'm trying to read what's going on.
I appreciate that. And I appreciate all the comments saying Happy Father's Day. I'm solo parenting this weekend. That's sort of what the deal is. And I do definitely want to talk about Juneteenth. There seems to be a lot of jubilism in the chat, and I am excited about it too. And also, I learned how to celebrate a new holiday, so we're going to come up with some traditions together. But before we do that, I want to talk about Clear. Okay. So Clear is sponsoring the show today, and we thank them very much. Clear is the safer and easier way to fly, to get into places, to get into, let's say, restaurants, hotels, venues, concert halls. There are over 50 airports using Clear right now, and it is a bio-authenticating way to authenticate yourself and keep moving. Clear creates frictionless journeys. It's faster, it's effortless, and you get to just move through. The ability, you know, when you're in an airport or any kind of place that involves you moving through like steer, anything you can do to remove that anxiety for me is wonderful. I also have had a friend who was flying domestically and forgot her wallet, didn't realize till she got there, and had Clear, and it didn't matter. She didn't need her driver's license to go through. That blows my mind, right? Totally blows my mind that you could not have documents and still go through because of bio-authentication. If you notice here, Clear is ready for the mask mandates, so they can still bio-authenticate. You know how you go and pay for something sometimes and you have to take off your mask to use your Apple Pay? Clear is ready for that. It can use your face or your eyes. Also, touchless entry at stadiums, airports, and more. So if you go to ClearMe, do I have a URL? No, I don't. Just clearme.com. Make sure you sign up and save yourself the anxiety. You can add up to three members to your membership, three family members or friends. Kids 18 and under are free. That's awesome. So couples can go with maybe a teenager or something like that. And they already have 5 million people. Don't be the chump that stands in the regular security line. No, you've got Clear. And we thank them for sponsoring the show today. Have you ever used this, Philip? I think it's wonderful.
I have not, but I haven't been doing my usual travel, so that's starting to pick back up. So
yes, it is. More people than ever going through airports now. You see all these stories. It's like millions of travelers screened by the TSA. Also, it just gives me anxiety now to wait in a line with my children who like hang on the ropes and touch things, and my littlest still kind of rolls on the floor. That's a good way to get COVID or trichinosis or whatever.
So I have the URL up for everybody. So it's the
thank you.
The clearme.com/invest.
We do have code, yes.
Yep, you have to use code invest, and that's just to make sure people get it right. It's clearme.com/invest, and then use the code invest.
Yes. Okay, what do they get with that code? Let's see.
That's first two months for free.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you for that. I missed it.
No problem.
Absolutely, you want this. You do not want to be chilling out in airport lines next to people. I don't know if I'm ever going to, even the pandemic seems to be subsiding, am I ever going to get over the aversion to strangers? I feel like that's here to stay. And anything I can do to make it that so that I don't have to stand in queues next to people, I'm going to do.
It's been weird here in Washington. They pretty much like they've adopted that if you're vaccinated, you're fine, you don't need to wear a mask, and if you're not vaccinated, they're like, well, sudden going places and nobody's wearing a mask, and it's like it's off-putting.
Yes.
Because it's just so used to it.
Yeah, you know,
so it's interesting.
I mean, I want that so badly for my children because I see them going off to school and I feel so badly for them standing there all day and even on the field, you know, and they can't really do PE properly and they can't sing. I want that for them, but it's going to take some curbing of anxiety for me. I think for them, they'll be like, great, it's done, you know.
Right, right.
But we're going to have to unlearn so many behaviors that we've learned in such a short amount of time. Humans are so, Pavlovian. It's like, we just do it. Just put on the mask. Don't touch things, you know. I don't know. Well, not everybody. There are plenty of people who can buck the trend easily, but I'm not one of them. I'm a rule follower, and when rules fall away, I don't know what to do with myself. So did you know that today is a federal holiday? It is. Today is Juneteenth. Well, tomorrow is. The actual holiday will now and forever be June 19th, but since tomorrow's a Saturday, the federal government's calling it on today. And so federal employees get this holiday because June 19th honors the day in 1865 when Union soldiers brought newly freed slaves into Galveston, Texas. Now, here's a little history lesson for you. The Emancipation Proclamation was actually not in 1865. It was 2 years before that. This is the big to-do that we celebrate that Lincoln freed the slaves. Well, the Emancipation Proclamation only applied to 10 states. There were still slave-owning states. And so the 13th Amendment is actually what freed all slaves and made enslavement of any person. Also, the 13th Amendment made indentured servitude and peony? Is that what it's called when you have to pay off a debt? When you're forced to work in order? Anyway, all of that was abolished by the 13th Amendment 2 years later. And so this day on June 19th is commemorated by many to celebrate the freedom of enslaved people, particularly Black people. But I think it's awesome day for us to celebrate together. All of us should do it, right? And so if you're the kind of person that sort of worries now, like, oh, this is a Black people holiday, and then that makes 4th of July a white people holiday, and this is going to divide us further, I think it's worth keeping in mind that the intention behind Juneteenth was for these holidays to connect, not be separated. In fact, a lot of the lobbyists and the people who worked in, well, not lobbyists, that's the wrong word, the people who were behind the Juneteenth movement envisioned this as a two-week celebration connecting Juneteenth and 4th of July. So I'm all for that. Two-week holidays. That's wonderful. I think probably most of us will still have to work between now and the 4th of July, but we can honor the spirit by just feeling like this is Liberation Fortnite, right? We could call it that. Not Fortnite the game. Fortnite by Fortnite, I mean a period of time that's 2 weeks. It's a British word. Do you use that word, Philip? Fortnite?
I do.
Not in the game? Okay.
Yes, I do. I don't use it in game context. I use Fortnite every now and then just to be...
Okay, good. Yeah, how about that? Liberation Fortnite. It starts now. It ends on 4th of July. And what do we do? What do you do on Juneteenth? Now, I am not the kind of person who has ever celebrated this before. I'm happy to. I'm glad for the education, but I have no traditions. Actually, June 19th was my father-in-law's birthday, and this is the first year he won't be with us on his birthday. So we have had June 19th celebrations, but for my now deceased father-in-law, which, you know, I'm glad for something else now that takes that place. I think it's wonderful. Do you know what the traditions are for Juneteenth? I admit I had to look this up.
I do not, no.
Okay.
I'm interested to hear.
Well, the tradition is to drink a red drink. And that is done in order to symbolize the blood of many that were shed for freedom. And so... really, anything red. It could be some juice. It could be a nice red wine. It could be a Bloody Mary. But apparently, this is an important part of that celebration. I will comply. And also, you know, barbecues and getting together. You could also patronize a Black-owned business or anything, you know, in the spirit of celebrating this piece of our culture. I think it's great. This is the first time a new federal holiday was created since 1983 when we got Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So, you know, here is another thing that I foresee that could make this a problem is employers who offer 4th of July off and not Juneteenth. I'm just going to say right now, don't do that. If you're an employer, unless you want to get sued, you will be sued. So just don't do it. I think that it's important to elevate this to the same fanfare as 4th of July, which means next year we'll get sales, retail sales as well, you would hope. But yeah, I'm all for it. So let's just kick off Liberation Fortnite. What do you think of that, Philip? What do you want to do?
I think it's a good plan. I don't know of any red drinks that I typically drink. I'll have to figure something out.
Okay. Do you like cranberry juice?
That I do love, actually. Yeah.
Okay. There you go.
There we go.
You're set. Cranberry juice it is. Yeah, I like red wine. I don't drink white wine. So there's one. Don't drink until you get purple teeth. I like, you know, when I was pregnant with my third, all I wanted was a Bloody Mary, like really, really spicy Bloody Mary. And I did not want a virgin one, but I didn't partake of that. You know, I was reading this book recently about how America is it's called Litigation Nation. It's a really interesting book about how our values are come through litigation, and how like a lot of the law that we have now is around things that slave owners wanted. For instance, you know, real estate law came from our ability to take over property from Native people. A lot of our laws about, you know, freedom came from the fighting over whether or not people should be enslaved. And it's interesting, I pulled this quote because it made me stop and think, and I just read this 2 days ago in the run-up to the signing of this bill, and I thought, wow, that's worth thinking about. Now, if you think about, you know, we talk a lot on this show about the federal government, how they can take your gold, they can, you know, change your money, they, you know, we live on a fiat currency, all of this idea of like the government taking things. The 13th Amendment, this is a direct quote, it's not from me, but I think it's worth like giving us pause. The author of this book says, the 13th Amendment was at the time and for many years thereafter the most extensive taking of private property in our history, because slaves were property, right? And they were worth a lot of money. In fact, we talk about this. I'm sorry, I'm not giving you the full quote because I went on a tangent. But in fact, when we talk about health insurance, did you know that Aetna used to insure slaves? Like that was how they built their business, is like you could buy a slave and get insurance on said slave if they were considered valuable, like in whatever you needed them for. Isn't that crazy to think about? I did not know this. Did you know this? Maybe everybody else does.
I did not know that. That's the first I've ever heard that about the insurance.
Yes. Yeah. And in fact, a lot of the litigation that started our current system was about fraud in the slave trade. So there was, I think it was neem oil or something, like if you had a slave that was in poor health because you had not taken good care of them, and they were mostly malnourished, you could give them some, I think it's neem oil, it might be something else, to make them appear in better health when they went on the auction block. And then somebody would come and think, that's a good slave, I will buy said slave. And then when they got them home, they'd realize, oh, this person is poorly, and I got taken, and they would litigate. And so a lot of our litigation system comes because there was dispute over the slave trade. It's really interesting to think of it that way, and awful. I want to get back to this quote. I'm sorry about that. So, okay, the 13th Amendment was at the time, and for many years thereafter, the most extensive taking of private property in our history. It exceeded in total financial value the taking of Native people's land by the first European settlers, the acquisition of land from Mexico as a result of the Mexican-American War in 1848, and the imposition of income taxes in the first income tax statutes after the 16th Amendment. So if you think of this holiday, right, Juneteenth, it means that people owned property of other people to a value that exceeded these other land acquisitions. Like slaves were valuable. They were expensive to trade and buy, and it was taken away because they are people, right? And so I think that the fact that these people's blood, sweat, and tears built the America that we live in right now, we all need to show gravity for the appreciation for the gravity of this, I think. And so I am glad, one, that we have this day to remind us. I'm also glad that it is not being presented as like white person freed black people in this time and we celebrate said white people, right? Like Lincoln freed the slaves. Well, again, the Emancipation Proclamation signed by Abraham Lincoln was not for all slaves. It was only for these 10 states. And Lincoln famously said that he just wanted to not break apart the United States as it was. And he said if he could get peace, you know, between the two sides by freeing the slaves, he would do it. if he could get peace without freeing the slaves, he would do it. His goal was to keep the colonies together, not necessarily to free slaves. So we are not here elevating a white person in appreciation for what they did for black people. We are, again, drinking the red drinks to commemorate what these people did for themselves, like the people who fought, the people who ran away, the people who continued to speak up. So, yes, it's more than just having a glass of red wine. It's about understanding how we all benefit from this.
So Tony Jocelyn had a $3.99 super chat. He said, how do you feel about, it says respirations, but I'm pretty sure he meant reparations. So I just wanted to know your opinion on reparations.
I have a lot of thoughts on that. In fact, so I have many thoughts. I don't know the bill offhand, but there has been many times since, for the last 20 years, there's been a bill introduced that went nowhere into Congress to only study the effects of reparations. Not even just like do it, but study it, right? And there is precedence for it. There has been, let me look this up. There has been, let's see, many times reparations. Let me look it up. One second. Can you talk while I look this up?
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty sure I can't remember who it is that does it, but yeah, I'm pretty sure they introduced the bill. There's like a reparation bill that's introduced, I think, every year or something like it. Like it happens pretty often.
Yes. Okay. In 1971, congressional acts provided $1 billion in reparations to Alaskan Native peoples. Courts returned tribal lands to other Native peoples through the 1970s and 80s. Japanese Americans during World War II were given reparations. So reparations are a thing we have an appetite for, right? They serve a purpose. They work in many ways. For this, I feel like the America cannot really figure out how to make this work because the gravity is so big, right? It's so much. And one problem that with the court system is that there was a famous case within the last 15 years where slave descendants were trying to sue the companies, for instance, insurance companies and tobacco companies that benefited from slave law. But they could make the case that state laws allowed it, so they were breaking no laws at the time, and it sort of put undue burden on them to produce documents that they don't have over the last 200-300 years. It's tricky, right? It has to be voluntary because it's incredibly hard to litigate that. And it seems to me like it's difficult. I don't think saying, yay, we get a holiday with a day off means that we're moving in that direction at all. I would like to see the economic impact of that. And you could start small. You could have like tax credits, right? It's something. You can start when somewhere. I'm for it. And I also appreciate the gravity of it. And I also appreciate how tricky and hard that it could be. But I go back to the history of the fact that we've done it before, done it for Japanese people, for Native Alaskans. I'm for it. I definitely am. I don't want to be the economist who shows how to do it, though.
Yeah, I mean, I think like my personal opinion on it is when you look at how wealth has been accumulated over centuries, so that some of these families have had this wealth for that long, and the mechanism for maintaining that wealth is just like building it, handing it down, building it, handing it down.
Yeah,
and then when you go. When you take people that were prevented from having that ability for so long, it's like you can't really say, well, we're now on an even playing field.
No,
because that generational wealth was prevented.
Yes, and okay, slavery was emancipated, but discrimination was not. And the way that I like to describe it, which I was told once in graduate school, is if you have some people playing Monopoly and they go around the board and they collect property, and every time they collect $200, they pass go, they collect $200, and they're doing that for let's say 24 hours, and then you're like, hey, would you like to play too? Those people who now can play, who've been prevented from playing, are never going to catch up. It's not possible, right? And so there needs to be some kind, I'm not saying you hold everyone else back, right? Everyone gets to keep living their lives, but there has to be something to catch up for the time when they were not allowed to play. I think it's a good analogy. If anyone plays Monopoly anymore, do they? People still do, right?
Not people with friends, I think. Isn't that like a friend ender?
Really? I've never heard that.
Yeah, it usually leads to fights and arguments.
I had never heard that. I usually just give up, though. I'm not a good Monopoly player. I just say, yeah, I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I lose my patience for it. Even though it's funny because we're real estate investors. Like, that should be my jam, right? But it's not. I just get bored of it. Have you ever actually finished it?
I don't know. Usually people give up because I'm like a game mechanics like nerd. So when we start doing stuff, I'll find all the loopholes. Like, I'm not playing Monopoly, I'm playing the system. And so like I end up just using my statistics and math, and it's just no fun for anybody, I think.
Yeah. Do we have any other comments about it, but about this holiday? Anybody want to
comment?
Oh,
they've been rolling through. So people have been like paying attention to the chat on screen.
Good.
It would be almost too many to read, but there's a mixed bag on people, like from what it seems like, whether or not they would support reparations. Here's a good one. So we got Valatea Hare.
Mm-hmm.
Reparations would only help well-articulated Natalie.
Yeah. You know, I don't like this argument of like other countries enslave people too. You know, the United States built massive wealth on enslavement. Yes, it was not our idea. It was pioneered by the English and the Portuguese, who had easy access to just sort of float on down to Africa and steal people. That does not mean that you cannot take responsibility for your actions. You know, it's like, I mean, that's just one of those arguments I used to give my parents, like, Lindsay did it. Like, you know, if my sister did something too, then I shouldn't, you know, it doesn't make sense. Like, we need to take responsibility for our own energy and the fact that we live in a wealthy country as a result of people who are not beneficiaries of that wealth.
Amy Perkins with a $5 super chat. Why not get rid of systemic racism completely? That would be a huge start.
Yes. But I think that, well, here's one way, right? We celebrate freedom of enslaved people. But systemic racism means it's innate. It's like woven through something. And I think that's something that I think we're trying to do. I think so. Juneteenth, no one's going to get money out of it, right? Except the retailers who now can give you these massive sales because there's a new holiday to sell around. But it will, I think it will help in that idea, and that we're for something instead of against something. Yeah. Anything else?
No, I mean, that just, there, like I said, there was been a lot of comments on it. So.
Okay. And were there any other ideas on how we can all celebrate it responsibly? It's not, you know, I'm not saying get drunk on Juneteenth because there's a holiday and a reason, right?
Right. We've got other holidays for that.
Right. We don't need to kill more animals. We don't need to, you know, like, oh, great.
I apologize for missing the I'm trying to go back and find it, but somebody said like a great way to celebrate it. I didn't catch who said it, but a great way to celebrate Juneteenth would be to educate yourself on Juneteenth.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing right now.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel sheepish about the fact that I was not aware about this, of this holiday more than a year or two ago. And we shouldn't have learned about it because Donald Trump scheduled a rally and people were upset about it. Right. We should have known this before. And I think I've proven I'm a fairly studious person. Why has it not crossed my path before now? I don't know, but
somebody else was saying, and I think this is a good example of it. But like when you look at the Tulsa massacre, like the on Black Wall Street, and how that's really something that is only now hitting, you know, like people are starting to understand that happened. It's like, you know, it's like all of this has been there, but it's just now kind of gaining momentum.
Yes. Yeah. So, well, we know now, and we're making an effort.
So Trav Man with the $10 super chat. History repeats itself. The Egyptians had slavery, then the U.S. ended slavery again. But in our line of history and what we do now to change our line of history for the better is what counts.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Yeah. Yeah. Slavery has a long history that had very little to do with skin color before the American slave trade. And so, but in general, we are a less barbaric people now than, let's say, the Romans, right, who fed people to tigers. Or, and so we don't burn ladies who we think have threatening life views as witches anymore. We are a less barbaric people. And this is a good, in my opinion, a good reckoning of the fact that people will always work for their own freedom and go out of their way, cross time and space for the family that they love and for their own freedom and for their own liberation. And I love that. So, okay. Before we move on, I want to talk about the Iraq War, speaking of. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about our sponsor, Scotch Porter. Let me show you. Okay, this is a line of skincare made specifically for men. It's great for maintaining beards, facial hair, other body care. I don't have a beard right now. And I don't intend to grow one out, but my husband does. And I get really weird about what he's going to, not weird, I get really picky about what he's going to put on his face. This is non-toxic, healthy skincare just in time for the summer. We have a 50% off sale going on right now. Not we, they do. If you go to scotchporter.com/invest, you get 50% off of these collections. It's a nice gift for Father's Day because, you know, a lot of times Clayton will go into a skincare aisle and he doesn't exactly know what to choose. And he just goes with whatever is sort of the brand familiar type thing. And I'll look at the label. I'm like, parabens, it's got parfum. You know, these are non-toxic products. And so you can feel safe of putting them on your face. They've got kale protein, white willow bark, biotin, which is really good for skin and nails, pomegranate enzymes to clean, condition, moisturize, and promote growth. You ever notice that a lot of times because men shave, they have more exfoliated skin from like here down, right, from the nose down. And then it's kind of messy on the top up, sun damage and whatnot. So get your whole face, gentlemen, nice and baby smooth, or however it is you're going to wear it, and head on over to scotchporter.com/invest to save 50% off of all of these lovely products. I have a little bit, because Clayton does use this line, and I have product envy, because who wouldn't want these kind of products, right? You have like your nice skincare line. And I will say that some of these, I don't use them, but I want to because they're nice. So if you have a great experience with Scotch Porter, please let us know. Okay, now let's talk a little bit about war.
What?
What's the song? What is it?
What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing. Okay, so the House of Representatives voted to repeal the 2002 authorization for use of military force in Iraq. We're about 20 years from that, but okay, thanks. Why would they want to do this? Well, obviously because they do not want this authorization just chilling out in the ether for any president to use. It's amazing it's taken this long to do that, right? So if you recall, the appetite for war after the 2001 terrorist attacks in New York and Pennsylvania and Washington, D.C., increased the appetite for war, and President Bush declared war on Iraq, even though it was Osama bin Laden, who was not Iraqi, who bombed the World Trade Center. We got a war from it. Okay. That war did not go through congressional approval. President Bush gave himself this sort of special authorization to do it. Now, Congress wants to reclaim that power. So they want to not only repeal this 2002 authorization, some also want to make it so that this is not possible again, so that there will no longer be an option for special permission, like self, divined war, right? War is always supposed to go through Congress. It did not in this case. And then it has lingered ever since for nearly 20 years. So now this passed fairly easily through the House. 49 Republicans voted with all the Democrats. It will now head to the Senate. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has not said when. In my opinion, the sooner the better. It is most likely to pass. Neither party wants any president to have a blank check for war. And but again, some say that it doesn't go far enough because it still leaves in place this sort of free pass for war, which, nobody wants. Nobody wants that anymore. So I think it's good. We repeal this authorization, and hopefully soon we'll see a bill that repeals the ability for this authorization. What do you think of that? Do we have any super chats?
Nothing coming in on that just yet. People are still talking about Juneteenth. But I think what would be interesting is if they, so they repeal that, Authorization Act, but I would be shocked if the defense budget dropped because of that. So it'll be interesting to see how they go about like decreasing the ability to declare just what war whenever, but still, you know, trying to keep that military budget up and going.
I had the same thought. Yeah. We don't want any more war. We don't want any free pass to war. We don't want an easy path to war, but we still want to tax you as if we are going to war and keep your money here in case we will go to war and, I don't know, keep our Iron Man soldiers, right, at the ready for war. There's no information about whether or not there will be war whether or not they'll get any sort of different budget about it. This just seems like it's purely about power, because Congress is supposed to have the ability to approve war. They want that back, right? Understandably so.
I think history is the evidence we need that the military budget will not decrease because of
I don't see that happening. I don't see that happening. But we are indeed supposed to have a system of checks and balances that is our values, and it has not been put into place in the last two decades. So Congress is trying to get that back. I would like to see this moved into the Senate a little bit faster. Not that I think that any war is going to happen right now, but you never know.
Yep, Tony Breeden, Congress should have the say for war. It's in the Constitution. It is.
Yes, it is. That's our whole system of checks and balances. It should work. But it did not in 2002 anyway. So, okay. I want to talk a little bit about this death penalty. Why is the death penalty so popular these days? Because we don't know how to do it. So various states now are kind of messing with the way to have this done because they keep messing it up. By messing it up, I mean that there are certain drugs that have been traditionally used to execute death row inmates, and those drugs have gone all kinds of wrong. It's gruesome. I don't really want to discuss it. But in the last 5 years, even, there are stories of trying to put someone to death through lethal injection, and it doesn't work, but they have these various spasms, and then they have to try something else, and they just are sort of desperately trying to kill somebody in an inhumane way. It's awful. And so now the state of South Carolina is saying they don't have this lethal injection drug. And because of that, inmates have been able to indefinitely prolong their executions because the drug's not available. Now in South Carolina, the new law says that they will have a choice between, let's see, electrocution, electric chair, and firing squad. Firing squad is the new thing. There are three other states now deciding to use a firing squad. They are Oklahoma, Mississippi, and Utah. And so the lawyers for these two inmates who are on death row and were supposed to have been executed recently have both said, no, they're clients should have the choice of lethal injection. The court in South Carolina says, yes, we side with these inmates. They should have this choice, and they should not be forced into the firing squad. They should have. And so, but we're not going to make any moves on this because there are no protocols and policies in place right now to carry out executions by firing squad, meaning they don't know how to do it. They don't have a firing squad. It's not as easy as just like, you know, point blank going to shoot somebody. I guess there's a means to this. I wouldn't know.
There is. There's a very actual, very specific way it's done where there's several expert marksmen or markspeople that all aim for the heart. Not all of them have real bullets. And so nobody actually knows where the lethal shots came from. That's my understanding of how firing squads at least used to work as a form of execution in the United States.
Oh, it turns my stomach. Yeah. And so I suppose you need specific training. I have no idea how long it would take to train a firing squad. And so these states are saying, okay, we'll get to work on that and we'll rely on the expertise of Oklahoma, Mississippi, and Utah, where those states do have firing squads. And so we've seen a lot of different sort of maneuvering in different states, in Arizona, now in South Carolina. There are several states that are admitting that they don't really know how to do this well. They're trying to come up with new ways. Now in Arizona, they want to use the gas chamber that was pioneered by the Nazis. Because there is no humane death, right? It's not like taking your dog to get the dog put down. Where human body is more complex and it's just awful. These stories really upset me. We put them in the newsletter because I think that they are of public interest. But I am totally fine to go on record and say I am not for the death penalty. Both of these inmates were convicted of awful crime, but I do not think that this is a humane way for a civilized country to behave. And I would like to see this litigated all the way to the Supreme Court. I would. I would like to see a federal law outlaw the death penalty. I don't know if we're going to get there anytime soon, but that is my hope. This. Do we have super chats about this? I'm afraid to ask.
There weren't any super chats about it. There's you know, what you'd expect, like people for and against.
Yeah.
Which I, you know, like statistically, it's so and I'm more of a statistics based person anyway, but statistically there's evidence that having the death penalty is not a deterrent.
Yes.
Like it's never been a deterrent. And so it is purely punitive. And so,
yes. Yeah. There is actually that's sort of across the board. Behavioral scientists will say that usually punishment doesn't act as a deterrent. Incentives act as an deterrent, like incentivize people to do good rather than punish them for doing bad. That's right. Yes. So
we've had several people asking about it, and I'm not quite sure if you were prepared to do it, but do you have the pet photos? I know that's a weird segue from...
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't. We're supposed to do those on Fridays, right?
Yeah, yeah. Everybody'll just have to hang tight, and maybe we can get to it Monday. I'll remind Clayton of that, but yeah.
Yeah, sorry. Do you hear Grover barking in the background, too? He's mad upset about it. I know. Yeah. I'm sorry. I did not prepare for that. Okay.
If anybody really needs it, though, after some of the topics we've had, if you are Reddit fans, just go to the subreddit iBleach, and it's great for putting your mind at ease. It's all just pet photos and cute things. And
Grover's going nuts. He's really mad about this. We actually had like one of the Transformers on the street this morning was like, pew, pew, it was going crazy. Oh. It was blowing up, sort of. So the power company had to come and... But we still have power. We're still here right now, thankfully.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm just hoping.
Yeah, I'm glad I'm not doing this show solo because it would have been all audio and I wouldn't have had anything prepared. So I would have just...
Well, you seem to know a lot of stuff, though. How'd you know that stuff about the death penalty?
Just because I'm an avid reader, but I consume information. Yeah. Always have. And so, I mean, like, when I was in college, I had a dual major. So I studied molecular biology and sociology.
Oh, okay. But, I have a master's in sociology.
Oh, nice. So, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I ended up dropping the sociology part because I actually went from environmental chemistry to sociology, and then after that switched to molecular biology, and I just couldn't. The workload was too much to do it all.
Yeah.
So Amy Perkins with a $5 super chat, death by legal injection, I think she meant lethal, is the most humane way to execute somebody. The problem is they don't hire doctors to do the execution, so they mess up.
I don't know if that's true. I think they have had doctors in execution rooms, maybe. Or,
well, that would be like a huge breach of the Hippocratic Oath. I'm not quite sure if they could do that, like if a doctor actually could administer it ethically.
Yeah, I'm trying to think back to the most recent one, I think in the state of Arizona, that was bungled. I thought there were doctors that were trying to... I'd have to go back and look. If that's true, well then, I mean, we use proper doctors to put down your pet, right? In a humane way. So maybe that's true. I don't know. It's just awful. Like, the whole idea of it is awful. I don't know. I find it very haunting. So
yeah, but from what I remember, I mean, this is years ago since I've like looked at it, but firing squad is actually like probably one of the most humane because it's instantaneous.
And yeah.
It's like, I mean,
didn't you see Game of Thrones?
I stopped watching that like 3 or 4 seasons in.
Okay, I don't want to give anything away, but when Jon Snow does that arrow to the heart of Mans Raider. Again, hope I didn't give anything away. Yes, because they're burning him at the stake and he wants to give him the most humane execution and he gets in big trouble for that. You don't know this scene?
I think after like a good year of something like that, that you can't, you don't have to apologize for spoilers if you spoil
spoilers.
If somebody hasn't gotten to it yet, that's not on you, that's on them.
All right. Yeah, that happens. And that scene stuck with me because it was a big deal, right? That they put him to death and that they gave him the burning at the stake and he was like, he doesn't deserve this. And so,
yeah,
okay.
I think at this point it would be like giving away the chat, end of Old like, Yeller.
Yes. Right. I'm like, is anyone, when Clayton and I were on, worked in the news, we had a friend who was filling in for the weekend show over Christmas and she gave away the end to Marley and Me. And it was like the biggest movie of the year at that time.
Oh, no.
It was like the holiday. They got so much hate mail. They were like, thanks for that.
I think if I'm wrong on this, then I apologize. But I remember when it was the new Indiana Jones and like the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was coming out. And there was this young actor that had been in the movie and he was on an interview and he gave away a bunch of stuff he shouldn't.
Uh-huh.
And so I think they went back and edited him out of the movie. Like they literally just
that's
like,
that's amazing.
Like, yeah. So
that's funny.
You got to watch spoilers, but after a while, I think you're okay.
Yeah. 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 I'm not usually, prone to that, but we were talking about injection and execution and whatnot. I mean, I don't want to make fun and say we should use Jon Snow and his arrow.
Right, right.
I did not mean that. But again, that was the major point of that episode. Okay, no more Game of Thrones. I'm getting too nerdy on this. Okay. Some fun things that you might have noticed in the newsletter if you read it. And I hope you're a subscriber because we pour our blood, sweat, and tears into that. It's morninginvest.com. It's a free newsletter. It brings you a smile to your face sometimes. Or a tear to your eye, or an angry face sometimes. I loved the story today about, which one here? Composting yourself. Now, where you live, that's legal. Now, the state of Oregon has decided that you can compost yourself. Is it here? No, yes, Oregon. Washington and Colorado already do that. So, you know, you hippie states, you're ahead of us with this. It's kind of awesome. New York and Delaware are also considering this. It just means that you're like, act like a forest animal. When you die in the forest, you become a part of the forest, right? There are specialized companies that will do this for you. You don't have to just like put your deceased one in your compost pile. Don't do that. You could get in major trouble for that, I believe. But they will do it for you and then send you back the soil that your loved one becomes. It's not much different than, say, a cremation. But cremation actually uses a ton of fossil fuels. And burial, well, that leaches chemicals into the earth, into groundwater, into, you know, the environment in general. And so this is part of an effort to have the afterlife industry more green. And I really like it. You do kind of have to get over yourself as like a decomposing thing, but you're going to do that anyway, right? So I just love the idea of like getting sent back the soil of your loved one and letting them grow new life with your garden. It's wonderful. Have you heard of people doing this since you live in an area where it's allowed?
I haven't. I have heard of the like being compressed into a diamond, which I thought was interesting.
What is that?
You can actually have the ashes compressed into like a diamond, basically. And I've heard of being shot into space, like your ashes shot into space. I've not heard the composting, which is what I would do anyway. Like I don't, when I'm done with my body, I'm done with it. Like put it back. Don't embalm it. Don't put it in a airtight container. Just, you know, I'd be fine. Just, you know, what do they call it? Like a sky burial. Like they do.
I'd be kind of superstitious about it though. I'd be like, what if your roses don't grow in my soil? You know, then I'm like,
oh yeah,
like, oh, grandma's, you know, didn't grow any tomatoes. They just died in there. Like, yeah, I would like, be really,
like if
I don't
my
know.
Acidity was too high and I killed your hydrangea or something.
Yeah,
like, come
yeah.
on, man.
Yeah. But again, it's much better than even, you know, I know a lot of people sort of scatter ashes in their own backyard, but you have to think those ashes came from fossil fuel in ignition. And so there are a lot of businesses now popping up around more green burial. And I, for one, very much like it. I also am the daughter of a person who has a big composting business, though. So I'm all about compost. My dad's had this business since the 80s, the 90s, rather. So compost is where it's at, yo.
Yeah, I used to have my worm bins in the kitchen and would do the vermiculopost. And
yeah. You know. Yeah, I compost. I'm a big composter. I love it. And then you have like one bag of trash per week if you recycle and compost, you know, yep. Do your part.
Amy Perkins talking about they have this thing where your ashes are used to plant a tree. I've heard of that one too, where they kind of like give you a tree bundle where it's got like the start, and it's all very fascinating.
I also would be afraid that I would hurt that tree. Have you read Percy Jackson?
I have not. Nope.
Oh, okay. So like... there's the Talia tree and like, okay, I won't.
You can spoil it for me. That's fine. I don't care.
No, you have to read this. Oh. Percy Jackson's great. My kid's really into it. It's good. It's like for middle graders who want to learn about, you know, it's like adventure for middle graders that's based on Greek mythology. It's super fun. Yeah.
My daughter only reads like young adult horror. So.
Oh, like what?
Oh man, some of the like Frozen Charlotte was one she really liked. So she uh-huh. just likes the horror genre for young adults.
Yeah, I'm not into that. I couldn't even get into the mashups like Pride and Prejudice and Zombies. I was like, I'm out. I don't like it. It was not for me.
I've never heard of that one.
Oh, those are those literary mashups. So you take like classic literature and then put zombies in them, and there were a few that was popular like in the early aughts, and okay. I gave it a try, but it's not for me.
Is that like Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter or whatever?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
Gotcha. Yeah. So anyway, any other, did you read your newsletter this morning? No, it's pretty early, so I
have not. No. Okay. I usually read it after the show, which is like the worst point for me for considering what I do, but
because you've already been through it. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
My email routine doesn't start until after like a certain point, so.
Oh, smart. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, go and look for also seek out these stories. There's one about Victoria's Secret's ditching the angel supermodels, which is kind of fun. They think they're no longer culturally relevant, but in an unrelated story, 70% of women say they are attracted to the dad bod, so let's make dad bod angels. This is my idea. What do you think?
I'm all for
you
it.
You better work. Yeah. So that's kind of fun. Seek out that story and then read the story about a bad bird virus going around and why you should bring in your bird feeder. You know, during a pandemic, you can't eat out. We couldn't. There's a bird pandemic that's killing birds mostly along the East Coast. And so they can't eat out either. If you want to feed the birds plants that they eat. But please bring in your bird feeder for now. It could save many birds. That's all I got for you today. Do I have any chats to address before I let you all go and celebrate your Juneteenth and get your red drink?
No, I don't. There was lots of things. I'm trying to see if there are any questions. And somebody was like trying to call Matt D out because he said Philip only reads at an elementary level. I knew he was joking. So we're all good here. I was not offended by that.
It was in good jest. You
took
it well.
Exactly.
Very good.
Yeah, no, it's I'm not seeing any questions. It's kind of hard for me sometimes to go back and read them.
Yes, yes. I know. I mean,
there's like there were several people that commented sort of like they're not sure they would want soil made out of a loved one. Like that might just creep them out a little bit to have carrots coming from that garden. And I, you know, I can respect that.
Yeah. You'd really want to wash those carrots. You're like, oh, I'm eating dad. You know, that's something of concern. But again, you don't have to. You don't have to keep it. You could take it to the forest, right? It's organic compost.
So like, I don't know if it's like TMI for people, but like when my daughter was born, we did a home birth. And when my daughter was born, we buried the placenta with an olive tree.
Oh.
And so I don't know if that's it's along the same lines, I guess.
Does that tree fare well?
Well, no, because it got demolished.
Oh, okay. All right.
So it was doing okay.
It should have. Yeah.
Yeah, it should have, but then it got ran over.
I encapsulated my placenta and I ate it. And for my third pregnancy. And I know that, you know, there's doctors who say don't do that. I thought it was great. I had three pregnancies and it was the third one that I did that. And I swear to you, I was not tired. The other ones, I was just so exhausted. And this one, I was fine. My milk production was great. So, I'm all about all that hippie stuff. But that's a good idea. Yeah, to put something underneath, right, that the earth can. And I mean, the earth knows what to do with this in a way that no gardener does, you know. And bears and deer, they die in the forest and become compost. You don't have to put it in your own yard, you know. But you can give it to someone else.
Don't put it in somebody else's yard without their permission.
Yeah, though. Don't do that. Yeah. I mean, you're putting someone else's energy in there. Like, I don't know. Unless I decide I want to haunt somebody, then you can put my ashes wherever that person I'm haunting. I'm also for that.
good plan. Good plan.
Yeah. Don't cross me. I'll haunt your petunias. Okay, well, I appreciate everyone's comments very much. I will go back and read them after the show. Thank you for sticking with me. Clayton will be back on Monday. I hope he's having a really nice Father's Day. And thank you for tuning in. Make sure that you're a subscriber to the show. Hit that like button if you did have something you like. You can hit dislike if you want, but it will hurt my feelings. And subscribe to the newsletter, morninginvest.com. Thank you, everyone, for joining, and have a wonderful weekend. Happy Juneteenth, everybody.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.